Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That first Sunday was certainly not a day of celebration as it began. It was like all the other sad days when one had to go to the cemetery to pay last respects or to take care of details that were not taken care of earlier. And so as the ladies went out and journeyed to the cemetery, it was a sad trip. But what an amazing twist. They went to a place of death, and death was dead, and Christ was alive. He was risen. He was no longer held hostage to death. What an amazing twist. And we need to hear this good news. We are going through a time right now in our culture where death is being showcased in a way. Our mortality is being showcased. We are concerned about making it through the coronavirus pandemic alive. And so we are being hyper-sensitized, hyper-focused on the danger of viruses and the danger they have to our lives. And so we are watching a global picture of how many have had the virus, how many worldwide deaths there have been. In a few moments, I'll give you the Collin County tally as of the most recent I could find. And who's used to living this way? These forms of death that we see and the number of deaths and viruses and the dangers that lurk within the hidden world of viruses and bacteria that we cannot see is certainly something that's being showcased. Now, for good or ill, mortality is what it's all about these days. And yet there are other forms of death that can mess with us just as much. Think about the people whose lives, livelihoods, and as a businessman or woman who's an employee have been taken care of by the government demand that things shut down. There's a lot of different forms of death that are messing with us today. And yet, it's nothing new. We've known about viruses and bacteria. Some of us realize that there are plenty of bad viruses in our body, but some of the viruses actually help us with the bad bacteria. There are things on our skin that if they get into our bloodstream, I mean, really, there can be a lot of challenges. And so when you think about the saying, the end, there's a whole lot more to the different forms of death than just the coronavirus, and we're all being hyper-focused on how fragile life can be. I don't know, I walked out of Mercy Medical Center years ago in Redding, California, into the sunshine and the heat, after visiting a bunch of people and just having this huge epiphany. My goodness, it's a miracle anybody can live. It's an amazing thing that anything works for any time at all when you start thinking about how fraught with danger and death we really, really and truly are. I mean, it's an amazing thing to think about. And yet, We live in a dangerous world where there can be all kinds of ends to various things. Hopes and dreams and plans die in your life and my life. And the future can disappear, and all we can focus on is what's going on in our day and our time. We need to hear this good news, because the truth of today is this: death isn't the end. The end isn't the end. And yet, certainly, we find ourselves being focused on what's going on in the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to think more of myself as ground zero than I ever have in a while. How dangerous this pandemic can be, how some of us perhaps have had it months ago and got over it, now we're carriers of it or whatnot. And yet, there's something far worse in your life and my life than any virus or bacteria. It's something that literally affects all of your life and my life, across the spectrum of who and what we are. And we call it the disease of spiritual sin. In the way that we think and talk and conduct ourselves, we can hurt so many people. We can hurt ourselves. And it is written into the very cell structure of our life, where a lot of things can take on life and grow and hurt us. Sin is more profound than it all. The soul that sins will surely die. And so we are, spiritually speaking, ground zero. And as we think about what's going on in this world of death, on our culture of death, I want us to think how we should not settle for death on Easter Sunday. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And yet this truth must be confessed by all of us. God has cursed us for the sin of our thoughts, words, and actions. And so in that sense, we are ground zero. We're where death is supposed to be, and we're where death is supposed to judge. But even ground zero has changed for you and for me, because who became ground zero in our place for us? Our Savior Jesus did. He took upon himself all of our sin and wickedness, for all the ways that we have hurt ourselves, for all the ways that we have hurt others. Christ took it upon himself so he would become the cure that would rescue us from just settling for that's the way the cookie crumbles. For our confession and absolution, I want us to no longer settle for a culture of death. God would have us repent of all the ways of this world and to trust in what he has done, in how he has changed our lives, in the good news of his cross, and in the good news of his resurrection. For all the ways you think you've come to the end, for all the ways you have come to the conclusion that death is just the way it is, trust that Easter has changed everything in your life and my life. Easter brings with us a different kind of twist. It's an amazing twist. It's thank God for Jesus. It's thank God for what Christ has done and in the cure he gives to us. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So long ago, that sad trip ended at a place where death was no longer mighty. Death was dead, and Christ was risen. And so it was all changed. Easter messes with all that death brings, and it's supposed to. Easter is to mess with all the parts and pieces of your life where we just want to give up and give in and go along and get along. Easter messes with all of it, giving us a different view of life and death beyond the grave. Easter helps us think differently about all the ways that we come to the end, especially in the lives of those that we love so dearly. I mean, Easter gives us the chance to say to those who are dying and going to heaven before us, I love you and I'll see you later. I don't know how many times I've said that to people over my life, but how wonderful it is to know that when death comes and the final moments are there, we can still say, I love you and I'll see you later, knowing that death isn't the end. It's only the beginning. because we have victory in Jesus, in what he has done, in his empty cross and in his empty grave. In the light of those things, we can look at death differently. We get a view beyond the grave. We get a view beyond death. And death can seem so final. The grave can look so permanent. The loss can feel so deep. And yet, because of Easter, we know that it's only temporary, because our Savior's cross and grave are empty. And one day, our graves will be empty too. What a joy it is for me when I drive by my dad's grave outside of Fort Collins, Colorado, to see the marker and know that my dad is alive and kicking with the Lord, and that even one day that cemetery will have empty vacancies. I had a friend long ago, when his dad died, asked the funeral home if he could just rent the stuff, knowing that his dad's grave would be empty one day. That's the attitude of God's people. And we can look beyond death and the grave, knowing that it's only temporary. And that we will have a life forever, dwelling in the house of the Lord, free of all those things that hold us hostage now, and go on all kinds of adventures with God. With all due respect to those who think that heaven is grand, sitting on a cloud and strumming a harp, I think heaven is a whole lot more than that. If this life gives us something, we have seen nothing yet. My idea of heaven is riding horses with Jesus in the morning, going over the countryside, and then racing Z28 Camaros in the afternoon for fun. And if those things aren't in heaven, I won't care, because we'll be in heaven, and there will be much more of life and all that it entails. And I think that forever we'll see unfold more and more all the blessings of God, who is limitless and all-knowing and all-powerful. And so the adventures forever will be breathtaking and cherished and celebrated, knowing that all that was possible because of what Jesus was willing to do, humbling himself, going the way of the cross to rescue us from ourselves and from the devil and the ways of this wicked world. You know, I miss those days when I would take kids on a confirmation field trip to the cemeteries where I've served before, where we'd have picnics and tell stories about the people whose faith continues to bear witness to their life, even if they had died and gone to be with the Lord. We can have that kind of confidence. The grave is no longer a scary place to be, because we have Jesus. And though death comes looming large, what Christ has done for us trumps it every time because of his empty grave. But because of this empty grave, we have a different view. And because of what Christ has done for us, we have been made God's Easter people. That's who and what we are. We simply look at things differently. We are God's Easter people. We live in a world where we just look at everything differently. Sin and wickedness, transgression. We look at setbacks and sorrows and challenges like the coronavirus, not with despair, not with fear, but with hope and faith, and with a trust that God will help us deal with these things as we practice wise things, as we seek to carry out our lives, loving those around us. Our Savior's empty cross and grave makes everything different. We have a different view of our lives now. We see things differently as God's Easter people, understanding the truth of what it means to be the objects of God's grace. Not only that, but it gives us a different view to what's even happening now. And many of us have understood this, but my prayer is for those who have been kind of stunned by what's going on with the coronavirus, they will learn how to see Jesus in the details of their messy lives. Because this truth was spoken long ago. Many Christians over the years, over the centuries, have taken comfort as they travel through their lives that aren't neat and tidy, that are difficult and challenging, that make them cry and suffer, but they know this. It's what the angel said to the ladies long ago. He is going before you. There you will see him. I mean, think about it. He is going before you. There you will see him. Talk about hide and seek. maybe it's a little hard to see Jesus in some of the details of your life. I know it is with mine. There are things that I can look back at and I say, oh, wow, Lord, you were really taking care of things. I didn't know it then, but I certainly see it now. And as it all unfolded, I started seeing you looming larger and larger through the details that got smaller and smaller that were trying to scare me or make me give up or give in or go along. And yet, there are things in your life and my life where it's not easy looking for Jesus in the messy details. But no matter what's going on, the Lord would have us mourn. There are things right now that I still don't understand that have happened to me in my life. And so I mourn and I trust the Lord, knowing that He will comfort me, knowing that He's at work. I'm trusting Him, not the outcome. And that's the way we work through the unknown and the details that threaten us in our lives even now. The Lord would have us live. And what's interesting is that as Jesus works in the messy details of our lives, we learn what it means to mourn and to trust in Him. We learn what it means to die to ourselves and to live for Him. We learn what it means to slow down and talk more with the Lord and talk more with one another so that we can figure out how we can go forward. These are the gifts of Easter, and this is the rhythm of faith for God's Easter people: to repent and believe, to trust in the Lord, to mourn and trust, to die to self, to live for Him. And in this pattern of life, we bear witness to a resurrected Christ in our lives that are being renewed over and over and over again. You know, as God's Easter people, it'd be nice if we could always live in Easter. But in truth, there are times when things go sour for us. Like in the season of Lent, we realize there are times when we suffer. But what's cool about Christ is that we don't just live in sorrow and sadness. We get restored over and over again. The Lord restores the joy of our salvation in Him. And so that's what Easter means. Easter means we live in the light of the empty cross and empty grave of Jesus. Easter means that even when we find ourselves dying, Jesus is at work restoring us and blessing us and opening up new horizons to us, even now, where He is at work. And as Easter people, we know that when our death comes, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. A door through which we pass to a world unknown, seeing God on His judgment throne, knowing that the penalty for our sin was taken on by Jesus and that He now lives eternally to hear our prayers, to give us His love, to lead us through our journeys where it's not neat and tidy, but a blessing nonetheless because we are His Easter people. And as Easter people, we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.